up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media.
Welcome to the premiere of Up to Me Radio. And now we present our host, Gabby G.
Thank you, Mel D. Wake up! And thank you all for tuning in and joining me in the premiere broadcast of Up to Me Radio, where the voices of the self-empowered are heard. I'm your host, Gabby G. Okay, so now why am I Gabby G.? Gabby G stands for Gabby Gale, a term of endearment given to me by my mother when I was about 5 years old because I was born with the gift of gab. I would follow her all around the house as she was cleaning and cooking, asking her about every little thing and telling her and all of our poor neighbors stupid jokes. What is black and white and red all over? Give up? A skunk with diaper rash. I know, right? This is also a trait that both my husband and my son can both attest to, but I say that one's greatest weakness in some areas is also one's greatest gift in others. So if you like to talk like me or you're just a great listener, join me this morning. Pour out your favorite cup of coffee and get ready to be inspired. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life's purpose. I feel so blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. We will also have a very special segment in our show for you to share your up-to-me moments when you faced your reality, found the courage, made a decision, and took action to make a change in your life. This program is truly a gift from the Lord to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment where we can encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. With that being said, I want to express a special thank you to Mel D., Allie Ward, and the entire Atlanta Life Media team, and to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up, which we will be premiering shortly. So stay tuned. Also, at the close of our show, please remember to visit our station website at atlantaliferadio.com to learn more about Blessed Love and their ministry. To join me in today's conversation, please call in now to get the on-air caller cue at 347-324-5246. And let me repeat that for you. 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Then hold on and enjoy the show, and we'll bring you on air shortly. Today, we are welcoming Izzy Holakahi, band leader and lead singer for Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band. Izzy, welcome.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning to you. Welcome. And on behalf of myself and Up to Me Radio, please let me say a very warm thank you to you and all the members of Blessed Love for working so hard and generously around the clock for creating and composing our special theme song, Wake Up. And we're going to premiere that in a little bit. And we're truly blessed by Blessed Love, and I appreciate you so much for getting up so early in the morning, because I know you're all on California time and it's only 7 a.m. there. So God bless you.
Thank you so much for having us, and I'm very excited to represent Blessed Love this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you is help us to get to know your members of your band. Could you introduce them for us by their names and their roles?
Yeah, completely. Our band, it's a beautiful thing because we're kind of like a metamorphosis. We've gone through a few members whom we still love and care for, but the band, the members current now are myself, Izzy Holakahi, my wife, Di Holakahi, or Diana Holakahi. She is one of the lead vocalists as well as a keyboard player. And then we have Jonathan Pops Pryor. We call him Pops. He is the elder of the group, but in all complete respect, he is part of, very much a mentor and our spiritual leader, one of the spiritual leaders in our group. So Jonathan Pops Pryor, he's one of our vocalists as well. And he was actually the guy that, if you heard, you know, if they were listening to the intro this morning, he was the one doing saying "It's Up to Me." So that's his nice, soulful voice. And he's also our trumpet player. We have Wayne Green, and he's our drummer. He's from Jamaica and moved up to Florida, to New York, and eventually way out here out west. And Wayne Green, yeah, and he's a drummer. And we have our bassist, Eloy Mendiola, but we call him E-Bob. That in itself is an interesting conversation, but I believe he was given the nickname because of his sister, or his sisters called him that when he was younger. And we all kind of got these cool little nicknames, you know. We call Wayne Iron Man. You know, that man is he's iron exterior, but we're all human, and sometimes we have things that can cause us to our health, you know, can be in certain ways hold us back or try to hold us back a little bit. And he's been fighting through, you know, for most of his life now. And we call him Iron Man because of that. And awesome. Continuing on, we have, see, we got about 10 of us.
Take your time.
We have our second keyboardist, Abraham Solorio, and his brother, who is a saxophone player, Kevin Solorio. And, we could talk a little later about how they joined, how we got a couple of brothers to join our band, but they were a great addition. They're one of the newest members to our band. And then we have the percussion section, which is Dennis Lastra and his cousin, Rick Campbell. And they're two very amazing percussionists. And I believe that's it right now. We had a member, his name is Matt DiMartile, and he was our guitarist for a while. Like I said, we had a bunch of different members, you know, through the sort of metamorphosis of our band. He got hurt a little while back and stepped away, and you know, kind of refocusing himself and on God, family, and everything else, you know.
That's fabulous. Go ahead.
No, and that'll complete our current list right now.
Well, I just love how everybody has their own little story, and this is really exactly what our radio program is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you share with us about your own personal journey, your background?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm still, you know, quite young, 32 years old, born and raised in Hawaii. But about halfway through between then and now, you know, I was about 16 or about 15 or 16 when I forcibly moved to California. But in due respect to my parents, you know, they made a decision as far as the leaders of our house and felt it best to, you know, move us from Hawaii. And, you know, growing up in Hawaii, I was always playing music. I mean, I started playing the ukulele at about 10 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I always dealt with, you know, a lot of people deal with this thing, and it's, you know, being overweight at a young age, you know, and I was always dealing with that since a child, and that was a huge thing for me. And I realized that when I played music for people, I didn't feel like I was being judged because of my weight. Rather, I was being uplifted in some ways. You know, and so music became a huge thing for me. Music, and it was one of those things where, you know, I was the only person in my immediate family that did it. You know, my mom, she played one song, I think, and I think she still plays the same song. You know,
wow.
She was joking around a couple of days ago. She picked up the instrument and she says, you know, this is the only thing I can play, which is cool that she can still play. But that's the extent of the musical talent in my immediate family. So I will have to say, eventually I've realized that music was one of those, as Jesus spoke in the Bible, it's one of those talents that we were given, you know, one of those gifts that we just kind of don't know where they come from, but, you know, we do now. But,
right.
You know, it was the proper investment into that talent that he had given me. But, you know, at 10 years old, I didn't know anything better other than I like this instrument, and it made me happy to play it, and it also made people around me happy. Growing up a little bit more, I realized I didn't know this, you know, to about the age of maybe 11, around that same time, that I had a fairly popular uncle in Hawaii. And his name is Iz, better known as Israel Kamaka Vivo Ole, which is he was basically, everybody knows him for the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or the remake of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You know, he got fairly popular. It's played on a whole bunch of movies and all those things. And you know, my dad told me one time, he said, you know, that guy you listen to, because what I used to do as a child, you know, this is back in the day, so we didn't have, you know, the internet and all these things. And I literally had to sit next to the radio, and I would learn how to play songs by listening to the radio. You know, I would grab my instrument, sit next to it, strum a chord, and find the right chord, and hopefully to find at least one chord by the end of the tune. And most of the songs I played at the time were his songs. And my dad, you know, let me know that, hey, that's your uncle. You know, that's your family right there. And
that's
eventually
amazing.
Called him up. Yeah, it was great. It was a really exciting time for me. And, you know, here's one of the biggest reasons for me as far as the journey goes. It's because if anybody knows Iz, they know that he was a massive man. I mean, you know, to the point to where his weight is what was his demise. You know, I think he passed away at about a little over 700 pounds.
Wow.
But he had, you know, an amazing heart, an amazing voice. And when I actually, you know, found out he was, you know, a family member, I had made all the efforts to call him up and all these things. And, you know, he was at that time so popular in Hawaii that it was kind of a revering to talk to him, you know. So I called him up. I got his answering machine. And a couple of days later, I get a phone call back from him. And, you know, my mom said, hey, you got somebody on the phone for you. I said, well, who is he? She said, don't worry. I answered the phone and said, hello. And goes, you know, this is almost exact words. Hey, boy, don't ever think I'm not your uncle, bro.
That's beautiful. It really is.
It was. You know, and ever since then, it was a huge thing for me to say, well, you know what? My uncle, who's this really big guy as well, people love him. And, you know, they love him because he's an awesome musician. And again, you know, I'm 10, 11, 12 years old and dealing with this, you know, being the last guy to being picked on the kickball team, you know, not being picked on the soccer team because I was big and those kinds of things, you know. And, at that age, it's an integral part to your growth as a personality, you know, in your teen years and your younger, you know, younger 20s, as far as how those kind of things can affect how you act towards people, but more importantly, how you look towards yourself. And, you know, I realized that music at that time was kind of my saving grace. Later on, realizing that because of music, I realized that that gift that I was given was meant to be shared. It was meant to be given away. So music brought me to an amazing journey. I moved up here to California. First day of high school here in California, I brought my ukulele because that's what I do. That's what I did, you know, everywhere. People had their crutches or their things or their, what they call that, kind of that, you know, safety blanket that they would have, and mine was my ukulele. You know, and it was a great instrument because it's small, you could bring it anywhere, and, you know, the blessings is I could do it well, so it wasn't like I was just walking off the show it. I actually liked to play it so much. Brought it to school, and the security guard said, excuse me, you're going to have to take it off campus. We don't know if you're hiding any guns or any weapons inside of your case.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked at her. I said, are you crazy? But, you know, that was the school rules for us. So for the first year, that's what I did. I left it at home, but, you know, I'm a little bit of a rebel, and slowly but surely I brought it back in and had some family move up from Hawaii who, one of my cousins was a huge part to my music as well, because I taught him at a young age, and he, you know, he could sing. He could sing well, so I taught him how to play the ukulele as well, and eventually we formed a little group up here, and, you know, the security and everybody at the school realized what we could do, and again, it was just another opening of a door, and it's, you know, I really do cling to the parable of the talents. You know, when we're given one, two, no matter how much we're given, if we invest into those, if we truly, truly invest into those, that there will be a return. And I believe that, I mean, I grew up, you know, going to church. I grew up as a, you know, as a Christ-believing man. I just didn't understand what the relationship was. Grew up in one of those churches where, in all love and respect to this, you know, certain congregation, it sometimes to me at that age, it came off kind of as, you know, fire and brimstone, you know.
Yes.
You know, those kinds of things. And where I understand now in my age, I understand now what they were saying. The presentation to me at that time, I couldn't relate and cling to. So I will have to say that for, you know, after my teens, because I didn't truly deal with the inside problems, the inside things, the issues that of the mirror, so to say, the issues of the mirror, the issues of what I deal with when I look at myself. You know, I didn't deal with those. I didn't have, I didn't know how to. I just knew that music was a way for me to feel okay. And, you know, growing up through high school, I wrestled and did a whole bunch of other sports. Music, again, was that saving grace because no matter, you know, how far I went, I could still always pick up the instrument and play. And, you know, realizing later in my life that, again, this was a talent and a gift, and that in order to get a true return, I have to use that gift in to support sort of the spiritual growth, the spiritual realm of things, not just the physical things, not just what I like, money or gigs or shows or even, you know, to make people happy, even though that was a huge part of my growth. It was more of realizing that this is something that God gave to me and he trusted me with. He didn't only say, here's your talent, have fun with it, you know, kind of like the child that gets sent away, you know, or the child that takes
the
father's
son?
Money. Yeah, the prodigal son.
The prodigal.
You know, it wasn't, that talent to me wasn't like the prodigal son, even though he did give it to me freely. I believe it was more of a trusting here. I trust you that you will make use of this gift, and I trust that you will invest into it. And, you know, I had a teacher in Hawaii, an instructor, and I took a few years with him, and I call him my sensei, you know, kind of like that Japanese dojo style.
Your mentor.
He's my sensei. Yeah, my mentor, my musical mentor. But after those few years in Hawaii, you know, the world sort of became my mentor or my trainer. I played with them, different musicians, and I grew that way, but I also grew into the world. You know, I grew that way of becoming a great musician and on this, you know, amazing instrument and never having any real classical training. Yet now I can say, you know, 15 years down the line of having been up here in the mainland, you know, I own my own music business or my music school where I teach lessons. And again, these are all things that I truly believe are investments into using the gift to glorify, to teach, to preach, to take the word out. And, you know, obviously it wasn't a quick road. You know, it was a bit of a prodigal son. It was a bit of a prodigal son decision. You know, right between 16, 17 years old, I realized that, you know, being a bigger Hawaiian guy, I mean, I'm short, but I've always been, you know, like I said, from a young age, pretty big. And I realized that I had this strength that I had, and also I had this command presence that people said I had. So about 17 years old, I started doing, you know, underground hip-hop shows as far as the security. My cousin and I started doing security, and, you know, then they had this, they called us the enforcers and stuff like that. And,
that's great.
And, you know, and that kind of thing, it felt good to know that, you know, I was important, but it also was a huge temptation as far as my pride goes, because if you understand how a child grows up and they look at themselves this certain way, they think of themselves negatively, then really what we end up doing is seeking the approval of others in order to validate our life. And then, you know, to justify what we're doing is the acceptance of others, which I believe nowadays, or now for me, is not the key. The key now, I realize that when I walk in the light, I become the light. That when I walk in obedience, I then become that, and then I can it permeates out of me. Now, I'm not perfect, none of us are, but what I do believe is that the true understanding of why, when we're asked that to love God And that's the first important thing. And then second is to love others as we love ourselves. I couldn't love myself. So then how can I say I love others if I couldn't love myself? I couldn't say that I loved others, loved other people, and truly, you know, even my girlfriend or my wife now, how can I say, or my children, how can I say I love them if I can't look at the mirror and say I love the person that's staring back at me with my all my imperfections and all? And it's still one of those things where I have to check it every now and then because, you know, those my wife uses this term, arrows. From a child, we were shot with arrows, whether they were purposeful or on accident. We were shot with arrows, and those arrows scarred us, and some of them remain inside, and we don't realize those. And some of those arrows, you have to break off the tip and pull out the back. Sometimes you have to pull them out from the back. And, you know, if you really think of this, I mean, it's kind of a gruesome thought, at this early in the morning, but the idea is that we get shot with painful things.
We do. Oh, yes, we do. They do stay with you.
They do. And sometimes it buries so deep inside that we have to take out other arrows, sort of say, before we can realize that the root arrow is this certain thing. And I had to go through like I said, I was a bouncer for about 15 years between the years of 16 or 16, about 12 years. It was 16 to about 28, you know, between those 2 years. I was really, really into, working at nightclubs and got to the point to where I was, had run some head security spots in different states and eventually moved over into the adult industry and doing security for them. And, you know, that was a friend of mine years later after I stepped away from that living, that lifestyle, that job. He looked at me and said, "Man, you were Babylon's gatekeeper, weren't you?"
Wow.
He used that term for me, and it was a big eye-opener because really I was. And, you know, I stood in front of a nightclub or these adult clubs and literally let all the evil in. You know, and not to say that the people coming in were evil, but what I'm speaking of is the spirit, you know, that a man doesn't walk into a strip club with any other intention but the spirit of lust upon them.
Exactly.
You know? And that's just the truth about it. And, you know, to all my sisters that were out there doing that and some that still are, you know, really, again, we're making a living off of the evil spirit that exists in man. And I'm talking about in men, from the days of the Old Testament, it shows, you know, David, he fell to his lust, you know.
With Bathsheba.
Samson, he fell to Bathsheba, and Samson fell to his lust, you know, amongst other things. But even when Paul speaks about, "I have a thorn in my side," I truly believe that man's greatest thorn, men, you know, one of their greatest thorns is the fact that we have this spirit of lust that exists and that we do have to fight hard. But he does say, I glorify God for this because it reminds me that I need a God, that I need God, that I need him, that, you know, because without him, then I will be at true demise. Even if I'm walking around, you know, thinking that I'm walking alive, I'm truly walking dead in the spirit because I've allowed these things to overcome me. And, you know, that door that opened up for a long time, and I will be completely transparent, that door that opened up, you know, it didn't start, as far as the lust goes, it didn't start at 15 or 16 or 18 when I started working in the clubs. You know, it started when I was a child, when I found pornography in my father's room. You know, that's where it started. Before that, whereas, you know, I was with some family members and we're hanging out in an uncle's room where he has pornography all over his room, you know. And again, it didn't start, and those are the arrows that I talk about. Those are the arrows that, you know, that went in deep, that I didn't realize at, you know, at 21 years old, why am I working in this industry? And again, why am I so comfortable in this industry? Oh. You know? And, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You finished your thought.
No, I was just going to just put out there that God never left me in all of those things, though. You know, I walked away from him, but you know, living a life as a bouncer, it may seem glamorous to many men or even women. You know, you get to be this sign of what's that called?
Like authority.
Yeah, authority, you know, and, you know, realistically, not every person that worked with me inside the clubs, not all of, you know, some of them I do know were Christian men, you know. I remember some of them talking to me and stuff like that, and, you know, not in the strip clubs. I mean, more or less in, like, the bars and the nightclubs that I worked at, and, you know, and they would talk to me, and we would all talk and have these, you know, idealisms. But, you know, I've been shot at, I've been stabbed,
wow.
And I'm still alive.
My goodness. For God's purpose, your life for God's purpose.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, God has never left, and He never did. You know, He part of, you know, moving forward, I realized that I was called here to do something. And it might not be something completely amazing, but in His eyes, it is.
Exactly. You know? We're all here. Right, exactly. And that's what, first of all, you're extremely articulate and transparent. And I just want to thank you. Because I know that's not always easy, and but it's part of your testimony. And when you're real like that, and you can be upfront with people, because you're not the only person who has experienced those same exact childhood experiences, so you're not alone in that. I think we all need to, myself included, need to check ourselves against what's important, because what's important in the eyes of the world is not what's important in the eyes of God. And so checking ourselves on a regular daily basis on that, because it is very easy working and being in the world, because the Lord says we have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the fact that you would want to work hard to check that says a lot for you. And I'm curious as how you were able to turn that around and to come together with, how did the Lord bring each member of the band together to form this group?
That's an amazing story on itself. And obviously, you know, God works in amazing ways, and some of it was a blink of an eye, and some of it was hard dedication, investments, and of time, and amongst other things. And you know, when my wife and I, when I met her, you know, we've been together for 12 years, just about, but we've been only married for 5. Thank you. Actually, our 5th year anniversary was just a few weeks ago, October, and you know, when I met her, she was a beautiful singer, beautiful musician, and that's how we actually, that was kind of the wooing process, you know, was for me, for her, me to her, was music. She found out I could play, and she asked me to do a gig, and, you know, I always had this deep feeling inside of me. And at that age, you know, I was, again, like 18, 19 years old. I couldn't outright say that it was God saying, oh, man, He has ordained us and brought us together. Because I wasn't walking in the Lord. I wasn't walking in God. I was just simply walking in my flesh. And, but, you know, when I was working in that, doing things that I was doing, she was always there by my side. She always stuck by me. And, you know, they've got all these hashtags on Instagram, you know, world-class wifey, and, you know, my ride or dier. And she really is, though. You know, she's the one that stuck next to me. And now she's my spiritual partner, confidant, and those kinds of things. So her and I started a band years ago when I moved back to California. I had gone out of state for a while to work at other clubs and stuff, and I had moved back. I had a quick story I wanted to share. Was I had a quick eye-opener, and it wasn't one of those, you know, blink of an eye, life changed immediately. It was, I was sitting at the I was sitting at the bar at about 4 o'clock in the morning with one of the dancers that I used to guard with. And she had asked me, and, you know, mind you, we were spun out on certain narcotics, you know, certain hardcore narcotics, and both of her and I were spun out. You know, she I like to make the joke, she had the audacity to in the
that.
Midst of my high, she asked me, and I had no clue where she got this from, but she said, you're a spiritual man, which again, I never talked about God back then. I knew about him, but I was nowhere vocal about him.
But she saw it in you.
Well, and that's what I know now. She saw this thing inside of me, which I do believe is the light of God was there. You know, it wasn't snuffed out completely. But she had asked me, she said, you're a spiritual man. Am I going to go to hell for what I'm doing?
Wow. Boy, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
That is. You know, and I mean, talk about being sober quick, you know.
Wow.
I do remember, and all I remember is just what I grew up with, you know, was that, well, and I'm basically not verbatim, but what I told her is what I understand is if you confess to God and ask forgiveness, that you shall be saved. You know, I remember John 3:16. I mean, that's what we grew up knowing, John 3:16. But I didn't know application, so I did not explain application to her. I just knew what the Bible said. And that's all I was able to tell her at that time. But it was kind of from that point on where I went home, I would go home and I'd look up in the sky and I'd yell at him. You know, why? Why do you want me? What? Leave me alone. You left me. You made me grow up this way. And, you know, talking about all the anger and arrows that I had inside of me. Again, music was always there. So when I moved back, you know, and I had moved back because I realized I had another spiritual awakening that this lady that would literally, you know, drive 800 miles almost every other weekend to see me, you know, I realized that I better hold on tight to her or else I'll never find another person like that. And so I moved back to California on the notion of marrying her. And I wasn't a man. I'll be honest about
that's
that.
That's a beautiful story.
To actually, you know, to allow her to make a man out of me, so to say. But I did know that her and I, our life together, had music in the midst of it. A friend invited us back, you know, us to church. My wife, she grew up Catholic. And so, you know, some of her understandings of what it meant to have a relationship with Christ was a little skewed, was a little off. But that's no blame to her rather than the upbringing and the training that she had. And so we had a friend just ask. You know, actually came up to me and, you know, like I said, I was a big guy. Yeah, at one point in time, and about that time, I was about 400 pounds. You know, he saw this life I was living, and he just said, bruh, you know, you need God in your life. And that was a huge thing. And that was honestly the road into realizing that the music that I play was it wasn't for me. I mean, it was my life, kind of my life saving, but we know that it was God himself who saved me. But it was that. It was, and from there, you know, my wife and I, we put a band together, and we had a pretty awesome band. You know, it was, wasn't any of the members that we have now. It was, you know, in San Francisco, and so we were doing the San Francisco night scene. You know, I was very comfortable in the night scene, so we were doing that scene, and you know, I would yell out, yes.
I'm so sorry. You know what? You're so compelling. But it's time for us to go to a break.
No problem.
So I'm sorry to have to just hold that thought, and because I'm really enjoying this conversation, it's just time for us to go to a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation with Izzy Holokahi, band leader and singer for Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band. And we will also invite you to call in and be my co-host for today's program. You are listening to Up to Me Radio with Gabby G, and we'll be right back.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Hi, this is Mel D. Thank you for tuning into our premiere of Up to Me Radio with host Gabby G. We like to always take this moment and to thank our financial sponsors and our advertisers, because without their support, this show and broadcast would not be made possible. If you are interested in being a guest on the show or have interest in becoming a sponsor or advertiser, please send us a message of interest to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, you are listening to Up to Me Radio. I'm your host, Gabby G, and we are talking with Izzy Holakahi, band leader and singer for Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band. Mel D,
yes, blessings.
Blessings to you, and thank you again for being a guest on our show. And Mel D, do we have any callers that would like to participate in our conversation or ask Izzy
yes,
any questions?
Do. Yes,
awesome.
We do. So just bear with us, and I'll bring the first caller on air.
Sounds good.
Caller, if your number ends in 0676, welcome. You're on air.
Hello, Gabby G. This is Allie from their playoff.
Well, hello, Allie. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely. I had to call in and just congratulate you on the premiere show. You're doing an amazing job. You are so good. You didn't know it, but we knew that you were doing an amazing job. So I want to congratulate you on the premiere show. And also thank Izzy for his testimony. Izzy,
isn't that beautiful?
You have an amazing story. So thank you so much for your transparency. And something that you said really resonated with me because it reminded me of my own personal testimony and how, you know, at a young age, you know, I would kind of consider myself to have been bullied back then when I was growing
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a long time because of that bullying, I grew up with a low self-image.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an adult, you know, I didn't really think that I was good enough. And so
mm-hmm.
I pretty much became a people pleaser for most of my
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, you know, I developed a relationship with Christ that I realized that, you know, God loved me for who I was and that I didn't have to seek the approval of other people.
That's right.
And, you know, it was at that time when he started to present to me my own gifts, just like you said, I never realized that the gift that I had to write was a gift from God. And it wasn't until I experienced my own personal journey in getting laid off that he, it's almost like he gave me a flashback moment. Because when he
mm-hmm.
was asking me to do, you know, write some things and create some things, I was, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I can't do that. And then he
mm-hmm.
kind of gave me this flashback of all the times when people complimented me on how I wrote. And I was like, oh,
mm-hmm.
so that's what you were trying to tell me. So,
yeah.
I totally agree with what you said. And it, sometimes it takes a negative life circumstance. And for you, it was him waking
mm-hmm.
you up from that scene. And like you said, the young lady was a vessel that he used to speak to you during the moment of incoherence, you know?
Yep, completely.
That's a testament of how he will show up when you
mm-hmm.
least expect him to. Who would have thought,
right? That's right.
So,
exactly,
you know,
I thank you
for sharing that story because so many young men struggle with that and who they
yeah.
are and, you know, the whole thing about, I have a son, he's 7, and so what you just spoke is a very good life lesson for me and an aha moment that, you know, I have to watch the arrows that are being shot, you
yeah.
know, and making sure that I'm planting good seeds to uproot those arrows in his life
right.
so that he doesn't
That's
grow
right.
into an embedded arrow, you know.
That's right.
So thank
Completely.
You for bringing that out. I'd never thought about it that way, so I wanted to thank you for being transparent and for what you're doing in the body of Christ and uplifting, you know, people and through your music. And, you know,
awesome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I love your song.
Thank you. Sweet.
All right. Gabby G.
Yes, hello. Do we have any more callers, Melinda?
Yeah, we do have, our board is lit up. I just want to remind, if anyone would like to come on air, please hit 1 and I will bring you on air. But we have quite a few people, so I just want to ask that they hit 1 and then I can bring them on air if they want to express a comment or ask a question. But if you want to, we can move on into the program. Okay. Yes, we do have another caller. Hold on.
Okay.
The caller pressed 1, so let's bring them on air, and then we'll go back to the program. So hold on. Caller, if your number ends in 2786, welcome. You're on air.
Hi, this is Julie Silcott, and I just wanted to say hello, and I am so impressed, Gail, with how well you have done on this program. I am just in awe. And I love the theme, and I love Izzy's testimony, and I just have to say it speaks to me so much because it has been my life just worrying about my image and weight. And I just feel like it's such an attack of the enemy because it pulls us away from what's important and loving people. And I just feel like, Izzy, your testimony is going to reach so many people that deal with this issue of self-image and weight, and it's just really a distraction from who we are, and I think you're amazing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah,
thank
it's just truly amazing, and I can't wait to hear all the people that you affect by your testimony.
Wow, amazing. Thank you.
And
thank
I
you
actually
so much.
Didn't hear the song yet. I was wondering if that had...
That's coming up, so stay tuned for that. It's coming up in just a few minutes. Thank you for mentioning that. It is coming up in just a few minutes. As soon as we give everyone an opportunity that wants to speak, we're going to do that. Probably in about 3 minutes. But thank you for
okay,
that.
Okay, that was our last caller for right now, Gary.
Okay, that's fine.
So
you know what? I'm sorry. You know what, Izzy? I'm glad that Julie mentioned that because I wanted to ask you, do you have any particular concerts that stand out in your, the mind of you and your band where God completely showed up and surprised you? Because I know you give testimonies
man.
at the end of your concerts. And tell us about the back porch or the porch concert. Wasn't there something special that happened during the porch concert?
Well, you know, I tell you what, man, God works in amazing ways. And you know, it shouldn't be a mystery, though we say that a lot, God works in mysterious ways. It shouldn't be a mystery because if we know God himself, he does things in amazing ways. I mean, he created this world. He created this earth. You know, he creates the wind that, I mean, I was just praising him last night. You know, you create the wind to tickle the leaves. You know, you are the stream that grows to create amazing forests. You know, so again, it shouldn't be mysterious, but we just because in our small, feeble mind, we can't explain how things work. It seems mysterious, but he's an amazing God, and here's why: we were invited to do a show this past year called Napa Porch Fest, and I believe it's something that they do around the country, that certain select towns basically open up their porches to musicians. And this is in no way, you know, a ministry outreach program or concert series or anything. It was simply a concert series that a town puts on and, you know, gives people an opportunity to walk around freely with, you know, alcohol in their hand or whatever. And they can listen, you know, from porch to porch, which is band to band. And this year was our first time doing it. We were invited to do it. And, you know, the way everything worked was, I mean, the prerequisites to be able to do it is you had to have, you had to live there in Napa, so you had to be a band from Napa, which me personally, I'm not. But God specifically put people in our life, in our band, that just so happened to be from Napa.
Wow.
And,
so you got invited.
Yeah, but we were invited before. You know, people knew that we were from Napa. It was like questions of, you know, who we are, what we do, songs, and then eventually at the end, you must be a member or have a member from Napa. And, you know, we were like, well, that's taken care of, you know. And so it wasn't as if we knew about this concert and we had planned it because we had a member from Napa. It wasn't that. It was it was just, it worked out the best way it could. And then to further that, most bands that played that day had about an hour set. Maybe the longest were 2 hour sets. And I think the event went from like 12 to 5 or something like that. And because we had a member from our band who lived there in Napa and we played on his porch, we had a 5 hour set.
Wow. 5 hours.
We were the only
ones. God showed up.
Yeah. You know, we were the only ones that played from the beginning to the end, you know? And there, what I was told that day by the person running the event, there were at least 3,000 people standing in front of our porch.
That's amazing.
You know, and there's a video that a few people took in from our group and from the public as well, and you know, she put the camera up and she did, you know, kind of a 360 thing with the camera, and you just saw, you know, heads floating from one corner of the block to the next corner of the block, you know, and we're
That's
up
beautiful.
There, you know, singing about God and how beautiful He is, how amazing He is, and how He can move mountains, and you know, and people were there. People were there listening. And you know, one of the things that I know is reggae music is a powerful music. And like all things, we can use it to glorify,
mm-hmm.
or we can use it to do the latter part, the other
exactly.
side, you know. And it's really, really up to us how we choose to use these gifts. And what I've known for a long time, because I've been playing reggae music as a kid from Hawaii, and you know, I played Hawaiian music, played reggae music mostly, and that's just the kind of music that I always listened to, and that's the music that always spoke to me, you know. And it wasn't because I was always high or whatever. It was just because the message through the music was usually a socially conscious and a conscious music.
Uh-huh.
You know, now like everything else, again, you know, you add a dip of this, a dip of that, and next thing you know it, your morals change, your lyrics change, and you start glorifying other things. And so that's not just with reggae music. That's what, if we look at every genre of music, it's the same exact thing. It really is up to us. And so we choose to use reggae music as the platform to spread the word. And the thing I know about reggae music is that it's a heartbeat music, you know, the rhythms of our music, it really does, it precedes us, it comes before us, because it was, the reggae was actually brought out through the heartbeat, you know, through our own heartbeat. And reggae music, just the drums of the reggae and the bass line of reggae, it actually coincides with our natural movement of our heartbeat. And so I believe that that's a huge reason why people like reggae music. Like they may maybe not be collectors of it and maybe not connoisseurs of it, but when they listen to it, everybody knows Bob Marley's One Love, you know?
Right. It does speak to your soul. You know what? With that, I want to be able to thank our special co-host for this segment and for your participation. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to be a co-host for the segment of the show, please email me at information@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Don't feel left out. You can still get in on the conversation and share your Up to Be moment by liking and posting on our Atlanta Life Radio Facebook page and using the hashtag My Up to Me moment, and that's with the number 2. And you can also contribute your comments and join in the conversation with me on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. But now, drum roll, Mr. Green out there. because Izzy, I wanted to be able to introduce and play your beautiful reggae music and our Up to Me Radio theme song for everyone today, and I want to make sure we have time to do that. So the moment we've all been waiting for, Atlanta Life Radio and Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band present to the world in its entirety their latest CD and our new Up to Me Radio theme song, Wake Up. We'll get that ready in just a second, so.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media, here to share the love through liquor.
Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band. That was actually, that was the very first time I also heard the song, and I'm the lyrics of the song really capture everything that we embody here at Up to Me Radio. You really captured it, and I know that was through the Spirit of God, and I just thank you so much. I really love the song, and I'm so excited to be able to play it now each week, and I feel like it's an amazing representation of who we are, and so thank you all so much. Oh, my goodness, though. You know what, though? We're out of time. I'm sorry. I wish we could continue this because I've been captured by your own personal testimony, Izzy, and I think you're a beautiful person. You're a beautiful spirit person. You're beautiful inside and out. You really are. And thank you so much. And thank you again for the Gospel Reggae Band. It's a wonderful way to end this week's premiere segment of Up to Me Radio with Gabby G. And
Gail,
thank you.
This is Mel D. Sorry to interrupt you. I just want to take liberties. Just take 1 minute. Izzy,
oh, sure.
I also want to congratulate you and thank you so much on behalf of Atlanta Life Radio for allowing us to use this as a theme song to what I know is going to be a phenomenal show. And to our own Gabby G, congratulations, you got through your first show. So now, take it away.
With everyone's help, thank you so much. It was so much fun. No, I appreciate it. And we just appreciate everyone, all the callers out there who came in and all of you for joining us. And if you liked our new theme song, Wake Up, please let me know by sending me a message on our Facebook page. You can send it to Gabby at Atlanta Life Radio. And in a future show, we're going to provide you with the details of how you can purchase the song. In fact, if you have any thoughts on future guests you would also like to see on the show, you can contact me there as well. I would love to hear from you. I really love gabbing with all of you guys today, and I'm looking forward to having you back next Saturday at 10 a.m. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be the editor-in-chief of a premier magazine or to provide speech and script writing for live productions or the C-suite for senior executives, college professors, or A-list celebrities? If so, you do not want to miss out on our next week's guest, Ms. Jennifer Giles. She's absolutely awesome. So on behalf of Mel D and myself, and the entire cast of Atlanta Life Radio, this is Gabby G saying that's a wrap. Take 5 this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back next week to share it with us because remember, it's your life, your moment, it's up to you. Take us out, Mel D.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.